Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another interview for Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Quattromani, and this show is brought to you by Boost Mobile. Now, it's been interesting. I do often talk about the fact that the good thing about Boost is that they actually run on the Telstra network. Now, what's funny, though, is when you go to the Telstra website, and I apologize to Andy Penn from Telstra if you're listening, but let's do a bit of a comparison very quickly before we get into today's interview. A small SIM-only plan from Telstra with 40 gigs of data per month actually does not give you access to the Telstra 5G network. You need to pay more. You need to be on a larger Telstra plan to actually get that. So at $55 per month, the Telstra small plan gives you 40 gigs of data. It also gives you the unlimited calls and texts that you would expect. So you're paying that $55 a month for 40 gig. Let's flick over to Boost Mobile. If you want that 40 gigs of data per month, you can actually just be paying $30. $30 for the same 40 gigs of data, and you'll still get the unlimited calls and texts, plus unlimited international calls to select destinations also. And guess what? You are using the same network. Boost also does not have access to the 5G network, but hey, most people don't even need it. If you do want to spend the exact same amount, if you want to spend that $55 a month, well, Boost doesn't even have a $55 plan. They've got a $50 plan. And the $50 prepaid plan is going to give you 70 gigs of data within that monthly period. So if you really want to throw away $50 a month, then Boost will give you 7 gigs of data compared to what Telstra will give you 40 gigs of data on the same mobile network, which neither of those plans have access to 5G. But if you want Telstra 4G, Telstra 3G, Boost is offering it. Head to boost.com.au and do the comparisons yourself. Find the right plan that suits you. And guess what? You're likely going to save some money along the way. Now, today we have a very special guest. This man started Wizard Home Loans many, many years ago and actually went on to sell it for over $500 million. He's then started Yellow Brick Road, another successful financial firm, and has also been the host of Celebrity Apprentice. This man is a very successful businessman. I'm very proud that he is. He's one of our own. He's an Australian. And ladies and gentlemen, Mark Boris is joining us. We are going to be talking to him about virtual meetings. Mark runs a ton of businesses. He has back-to-back meetings essentially all day, every day, hopefully not on weekends. However, technology has had to become the center of his day-to-day life. So what better person to have a conversation with about virtual meetings and how he's coping through this pandemic, and also how he is succeeding through this pandemic as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, please, without further ado, please welcome Mark Boris. Now, Mark, reflecting on 2020, I guess it's been highlighted to me how much technology has been brought to the forefront of business and, to me, really truly enabled corporations of all sizes to continue operating. Is that something that you would agree with?
In terms of technology?
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, this year has seen a fast forward of all technology, I think. And you know, it's once upon a time, it used to be a situation where we'll look at this down the track, see whether we need it, see what our competitors are doing, see what our customers require, see what our staff need. Now it's basically non-negotiable. Look, most of us are saving money in relation to our business anyway. So like other costs have sort of disappeared from our business. So we need to probably redirect that money into technology now. That's certainly what I'm doing in my businesses.
I think that makes sense. And I mean, look, with everything that the pandemic has brought, it also appears to have dropped our borders. I mean, the way that I see it, we're all essentially no longer traveling in most ways, and we're able to meet, you know, really in an instant, especially if it's virtually. You know, you could be a global executive sitting in Australia, whereas in the past you may have had to move to the US or Singapore or something like that. And I think it's a really good time to be making adjustments in your life if you can keep the technology actually working in your favor.
Well, I'm a good example of that. So I would ordinarily, up to March this year, I would ordinarily travel every week somewhere in state. So we've got 2,500 brokers around Australia. I go and see them all in groups every week. And obviously once COVID started, I couldn't. So I had to work it other way. So we then started doing lots of investing a lot of money in physical technology like cameras. We built a television studio, effectively. We have a TV studio here. Because, you know, I was saving $1 million in travel a year. So, you know, we spent maybe $500,000, or I spent maybe $500,000 on building a studio so that I could actually send out high quality stuff to everybody. You know, people want to see stuff in high quality. They want to hear it in high quality. It's got to sound good. It's got to look good. And I had to employ some people who know how to do this stuff. In fact, you know, we've done stuff for lots of different people outside of my own business. And now I just talk to our broker community through digital means or technological means.
Yeah.
And to be frank with you, I talk to them more often than I did before because I can talk to them 3 times a week. Whereas once before I'd visit them, say I'd visit Victoria once a month, and then I'd visit Adelaide once a month, and I'd visit Brisbane once a month, and I'd do the Sydney guys once a month. So I could only really do, you know, that's once a week, one time a week, every week of the month. Now I can speak to everyone 3 times a month, 3 times a week, 3 times a day if I want to.
Yeah, yeah. And look, Mark, I think I probably look at things sometimes in a positive light, regardless of the situation, and you know whether that's a good or bad trait's another thing. But when I look at 2020 and I think about from a business point of view, there are certainly a plenty of businesses that are flourishing at the moment as a result of these changes that we're all going through. You know, whether it's companies like Zoom or want to hear about shortages of webcams on the shelves in stores, there is success occurring in 2020.
Well, there's a lot of the businesses have worked out that it's their time. You know, and you can, like, just for example, you know, like as one example, you can look at all the audio equipment companies, like, and EPOS is a good example. So audio equipment, you know, high quality audio equipment, if you're going to do anything that requires audio and or video, you need high quality equipment. And all of a sudden these companies are emerging left, right and center. And because it's just, I mean, medical research is another thing has emerged big time, but digital, it's not just software and it's the use of Zoom, but it's also all the stuff that goes around, you know, the Zoom environment. So the Zoom's really is really a software product that sends data out, receives and sends data, but you need the equipment to do it on. I mean, you need the hardware. So, and you need high quality hardware. And I'm not talking about like, you know, $5,000 laptops. I'm not talking about that. But you still need high quality stuff because you got to remember the people on the other side, they're not going to want to listen to you if you sound like crap. Or alternatively, if you look like crap, you got to learn how to set up your camera.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, where the light, what's the light look like? Like just now I had some mates of mine who do a police Facebook, they're cops who do a police Facebook thing in New South Wales every week. And, you know, there's three coppers and one copper who's doing the video started directing us like as a policeman, started directing us where to sit in terms of the light on our faces and all that sort of stuff. And said, well, the room was no good because where they wanted it was a sort of a tiled floor, made a crappy sound. So A, you got to have the skills. You got to know what works. You got to have the skills to direct it either yourself or for other people. And then apart from the environment, you've got to make sure they've got equipment that actually gives you your best look and or your best sound. And then you've got to make sure you're really familiar with the various softwares and make sure that the various software, whether it's Zoom or Teams or GoTo or whatever it might be. You've got to make sure you're using the one that is appropriate for your business. I mean, again, like Microsoft Teams is a very good one. We use that in our business, but we also use Zoom. And then on other occasions, if you look at the banks are using much more secure systems. Sort of the Cisco has a system which they use. So, all this stuff's emerged. Their new business is doing really well, incredibly well, to be honest with you.
Look, I completely agree. And I think when we first went into lockdown around March and things like that, you almost started to see technology like this and the way that people used it almost as a point of advantage, whether it was from a company point of view or an individual point of view, having the right setup, the right gear, knowing how to actually use the technology actually either made you better at your job or made the company look better and having a better grip on things as well.
Yeah, well, that was like if you looked at all the big enterprise organizations like the banks, for argument's sake, They all had this stuff, and you always thought to yourself, wow, how technologically adept are they compared to, say, my business?
Yeah.
And you used to always think they had an advantage. But now everybody's using it. What's also interesting is that once upon a time you didn't have these things because they're too expensive.
True.
But now all these things have come down in price to meet the market. And so you can get enterprise solutions for small business owners, like whether it's headsets and speakers or the use of software platforms to produce or broadcast for a fairly reasonable price. And, you know, these things allow you to record, and you can put up, you can talk to them, depending on your subscription, but you can talk to a couple of thousand people at once, which I've done a few of those. You can get the free ones, or you can get the ones where you pay for, where you can extend beyond the half an hour, the 30 minutes, like Zoom only goes for 30 minutes or something like that, but you can subscribe for other ones. But it's all affordable. Generally speaking, most businesses can afford these new software. So what's happened is much more stuff has become available. We've become much more aware of all the platforms. Once upon a time, we only have heard of the big enterprises who use these things. Now everybody uses them. They're all very intuitive. These systems are all very intuitive. And for me, becoming much more affordable, and will continue to become more affordable. More affordability is going to be the big thing. They're all going to start competing with each other for your hearts and minds.
It's a really good point too. And I think the more that I think about the actual tools that we're using, you know, I think back to builders and people like that who need the right tools to do their job. And that's the difference between my old man coming over to try and fix something and an actual tradesperson coming around to do the same job. If I think about this from a technology point of view, you know, companies like EPOS, which is, partially owned by Sennheiser, which, you know, listeners will be familiar with, how much of a difference have you seen when you sort of switch between consumer-grade products to enterprise-grade ones like EPOS?
Huge difference. And to be honest with you, it makes it a bit more enjoyable. So I can listen to you on the speaker on this laptop, or I can listen to you on the speaker that I got from the EPOS speaker, and I can speak to you through my EPOS speaker, or I can speak to you through the speaker on the computer. The sound quality is like it's a 10 bagger. It's a factor of 10, the difference.
Yeah.
So using the proper equipment is much, much better. And it makes it more enjoyable. Like sometimes you think, oh shit, I've got to do three Zoom meetings today. And it can get a little bit, tedious.
Yeah.
But if you've got good shit and good equipment, it makes it that little less tedious at the end of the day.
No,
and by the way, people can pick up on whether or not you're feeling tedious. You know, people can pick up on tedium. Like it's easy to pick up on it. And so you need everything in your favor to help you push through that. So, you know, and the investment in the equipment, the government's given us all these tax benefits now if you invest in stuff. So, you know, you get these immediate write-offs for a start. And which is what the government wants. They want you to do it because the money goes back into the system. That's sensible stuff from my point of view. You probably are saving money on travel anyway. So you really, it's a good thing to put that all to the bottom line, but sometimes you've got to reinvest a little bit of the bottom line. Like, as I said, I'm saving $1 million in travel. So I have no compunction whatsoever reinvesting some of that back into equipment and systems and people who can drive that stuff. And as you said earlier, it's better to sound and you feel better and you perform better. Because at the end of the day, you've got to remember one thing. When you are doing a broadcast using a platform, you're basically on television or you're on radio, like I am.
Yeah.
So you've got to perform. And performance is in – you need something that can pick up the changes in tone, speed, inflection, language, from warm to hard. You know, or you've got to have something that is sensitive enough to pick up all those things, which if you were talking to someone face-to-face, they would pick it up ordinarily straight away because they can see it, they can feel it. Whereas you're using a bit of hardware here, like a MacBook Pro, which I'm using at the moment, or you might be using a Lenovo laptop. If you're using one of those things, they don't actually convey the way you are. So you need the equipment that can pick up every single nuance in order to convey the message you are trying to convey to the person you're speaking to. Otherwise, it's a waste of bloody time, to be honest with you. Like, yeah, because it's just another Zoom call.
No, I completely agree. And it's been really interesting to see the steep learning curve for some as they've tried to, you know, adjust to virtual meetings. And, you know, you'll click onto a Zoom and you'll see one person fumbling around with their cords trying to get things working. And it, to be honest, it impacts their credibility as a worker. And you start to wonder, is this person really up to what they're doing anymore? And it does make them look bad in some ways. And, you know, for me, I'm looking forward to the day when I have to stop telling people that they're on mute, or when people continue to say, hey, can you now see my screen? I mean, these sort of practices are slowly starting to get through to people. But from your point of view, Mark, what are some of the tips that you can give, and not just audio related, but other things that you can give to tell people how to ensure that meetings are a good use of everyone's time, especially when they're virtual?
Well, I had an example recently. So the first thing is, if you're introducing somebody, if it's a group meeting, make sure you know everybody, how to pronounce everyone's name properly. And I know it sounds very fundamental, but you might be introducing me. If you can't pronounce my name properly, make sure you know how to pronounce my name properly. Make sure you know how to introduce me properly. So you've got to do a bit of content homework is really good point. Important. And if you're reading off something, try not to make it look like you're reading off an audio cue or you're reading off a piece of paper. Like, you've got to look at the screen. You address me. Look at me. If it's in a video, look towards me at least. Make sure that lighting is good. I mean, lighting, like in television, I mean, I've done a lot of TV. There's an old saying in TV, the person you must befriend is the lighting guy. And that's the most important person, you know, because he can make you look like shit or make you look like good. And, you know, and so lighting is critical, particularly in a video presentation, but play around with it. Play around with your lighting. Audio, obviously we talked about audio. But then content, you know your topic, and know your topic so well that you're not just reading, because if you know your topic, you can pause, or you can raise your voice on something you want to emphasize, or you can speed up or slow down. So play with the theater. So employ theatrics, because this is entertainment. You know, all these environments are about entertaining and educating. And that's the bottom line, whether it's social media or just a podcast like this, or a one-on-one interview. Whether it's not a podcast or otherwise, it's about entertainment and education, because people will not listen to you unless it's entertaining and educational. Unless you're telling me something that I don't know already, unless you're telling me something that I'm interested in, and you tell me in a way that is entertaining. I don't mean you got to make me laugh, but entertaining in a sense that it has theater associated with it. Like, as I said, voice, tone, the way you look, it doesn't look like shit. You know, it's interesting to look at. It's not objectionable. Bearing in mind your audience, if you don't have all those elements, then people got too many choices today. they're going to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or you're going to lose me.
One of the ones that I loved hearing the other day was when people share screens or they're doing a presentation, especially virtually now, everyone can stop seeing people's faces because they're all staring at this big PowerPoint deck. And one of the things I loved as a tip was actually between slides, or when you do need to talk after everyone has already seen the picture or whatever it is you're trying to show, switch back to the webcam so that you're actually looking at people again. Because if you're just staring at a slide, people switch off, they can't see you. They pretty much start to turn away themselves and start to scroll on their phones. So
I'll be honest with you. I think the best way to kill a broadcast is a PowerPoint presentation.
Yeah.
So I think you're better off emailing the people you're dealing with the PowerPoint presentation, and they can print it out or have it on the side themselves. But I would make sure, if I was the person like addressing or doing the presentation, I would know that presentation off by heart and I would speak to it.
I love that.
And I would not at any stage, I don't believe in this. Look, if I'm in a room and I got 2,000 people, I'm doing an address. There's no way in the world that I'm going to put a PowerPoint presentation up on a big screen behind me. The main reason is that because I want people to concentrate on me and what I'm saying, not on the PowerPoint presentation. If I go to a meeting, I don't put the PowerPoint presentation up on the up of six people. I don't put the PowerPoint presentation up on a board, because, you know, you'll bore people to death. They'll read what you've got on the PowerPoint presentation before you get through it, and then you've lost them. You must engage people face to face, and then you must be in that room of six, that meeting of six, and you must be looking at everyone across the room, moving back and forth and making sure they know you're going to look at them so that you've got their attention and they've got your attention. And they can take the PowerPoint with them, have a look at it later. It's not going to tell them anything anyway because that's what you're there to talk to them about. Some people use PowerPoint presentations because they are a bit a little bit too self-aware or feel a little bit intimidated, whatever the case may be. And they use PowerPoint presentations to hide behind.
That's crazy.
To make themselves feel better. So, and that defeats the whole purpose of a broadcast. I mean, I'm broadcasting to somebody to talk to them and to engage with them. I'm not doing it so they'll engage with my PowerPoint. So I agree with you. Keep your video on. Ask everyone not to turn to the pages, but print it out, whatever. Old school.
Pretty good idea.
Put it on the side. And in fact, I don't really want to look at it at all. I want them to listen to what I've got to say to them.
No, I love that. I love that. And I always find it very strange, actually, when people do shy away from webcams, because it's like, hang on, we used to meet face-to-face. You didn't hide behind the brick wall. Like, you actually turned up to the room. So I don't understand how that's different. But Mark, in your opinion, I mean, given all the things that has happened this year, how much do you think is going to go back to normal? I mean, for you, for example, you're talking about how much travel you've been able to cut down. Do you think we'll see a bit more of a hybrid approach next year, or will you stick to mostly virtual?
Hybrid for sure, because I don't think anything really replaces me actually being in front of somebody, like physically in front of somebody. But I definitely don't need to do it as often. That's the first thing. And I actually get better attendance when I don't go. Like, let's say I've got to go to Melbourne. I go to Melbourne every 3 weeks. You know, some of the people can't make the event. They might have a meeting on. If I'm expecting 60 people to come to my meeting when I go to see my people in Melbourne, and only 20 turn up, I get disappointed. Then I'll have to find out why, who didn't turn up. And people might have had another meeting to go to. They might have got something emerged. They might have done something with their family, whatever. Whereas what I've been finding when I've been using technology, I'm getting pretty much everyone turn up. They can do it from anywhere. They can be sitting in their car somewhere, you just pull out from the side of the road and do it.
Yeah.
Or they can do it from any spot. They don't have to travel to me. See, I was traveling to them in Melbourne. They still had to travel to the appointed venue. And I think people are enjoying not meeting up with me. So I think if I've got anything that's of an informative nature or anything that's of an educational nature with these individuals, I'm better off doing it using technology. But I also think I need to go and meet them. Like, maybe I need to go and see them once every 3 or 4 months just to say hi.
Yeah.
Maybe much more informal type deal where they can sit there and ask me questions and we can have a cup of tea or a beer or whatever the case may be, or a dinner or something like that. So I see is the hybrid format for us. Information and professional development and, you know, like educational days coming out of my business to my brokers around the country will probably continue to be done on the various platforms, one of the various platforms or all the various platforms. And then I will nonetheless probably reduce my travel down to 20% of what it was. So I'd reduce it by 80%. So I'll be traveling, you know, once every couple of months. But I'll go and spend a few hours with everybody actually just chilling and sort of probably more about me asking them what they're doing. You know,
it's a good mix. Yeah. It's a good mix to do it that way. I agree. And Mark, in the interest of time, I've got sort of 7 short and sharp questions for you to sort of get to know a bit more about yourself. And these are questions that we ask every guest that does come on the show. Mark, what would be your favorite app to keep you organized?
I don't use an app to keep organized. I shouldn't say that. I operate quite unusually. I've always done this. I have an EA who puts everything. She runs my diary. Organization about me is making sure my diary is right, and everything that gets booked through my EA, and then it just gets. And obviously, I take invitations. The invitations come to me on my email system, but that goes direct to my EA, and she just books them in or whatever, rearranges it. But so keeping me organized is. I mean, I have someone who does that for me. I'm in a fortunate position, but only because I pretty much have a meeting on the hour every hour of every day, it's better to have someone else organize all that sort of stuff, because I might be just walking past and say, hey, by the way, excuse me, I need to do this. And I'll just say to her, I don't even have time to look at my phone sometimes to put it into. By the way, I use my smart device, my handheld, my mobile phone. I use it for everything. I very rarely use a laptop unless I'm doing something like this. So I do all right. emails. Everything is done on my device. So I don't even have time to stop to type things in something because I'm literally running from meeting to meeting. And the way I do it is that, I mean, obviously my diary's filled out but you know, for months, but what happens is I don't look at my diary because, to be honest with you, diaries can actually, that process can actually be quite daunting and get you down a little bit, get you a little bit
True.
Nervous. So I don't look at my stuff and I get an email the night before of what's in my diary. So I know what clothes to wear and sort of, you know, what I've sort of got to start to prepare for mentally and what time I've got to be where and, you know, like what have I got to pack, what I've got to pack, a suit, a tie or a T-shirt, whatever, just so I know what to wear. Sometimes it's both. I've got to wear.
Wow.
I'm lucky I have someone who does all that for me.
Sounds like you need it. And Mark, what would be your favorite social media app?
If you mean what do I use most or what do I look at the most or what do I think is what I like, well, I like LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I love LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I actually, look, I don't feel as though I'm handing anything over to LinkedIn, to be honest with you. And they don't seem to come at me with anything else. They're not hitting me up with sponsored ads or sponsored messaging or feeds. So LinkedIn is very good for me. I mean, I'm a big LinkedIn user. Like I have nearly 500,000 followers on LinkedIn. So I have a good relationship with LinkedIn. And so I really love LinkedIn. But what I look at the most is probably Instagram. I rarely use Facebook. Very, very rarely use it. Probably never.
When you do get minutes to spare between meetings, what's the first thing that you want to do on your phone?
First thing I do is I'll probably look up, I will open up my emails straight up. I mean, I probably get an email every 5 minutes during the day.
Crikey.
So I'm looking through to see what's critical. So I don't necessarily answer everything, but I pretty much scan through everything I get. And then I just, every hour or so, bank up what's critical and I'll stop for 5 or 10 minutes and answer what's critical in writing or make a phone call. And sometimes I don't have time to do the writing, but I'm basically scanning all day my emails to see what's critical. What have I got to do with it? Probably the second thing is I look at my texts because my family just basically texts me. Probably not so much text, more WhatsApp me, but and I have I have 4 sons, and we have a WhatsApp group. So I look on, I use WhatsApp like Facebook, to be honest with you, like in terms of more groups. So in terms of family, personal stuff, it's WhatsApp. And I look at that pretty much all day. And I look at Instagram just to see what's sort of going on in my world, my media world. And then, but my emails are the critical things. I'm always looking at my emails.
And Mark, what do you love to do to disconnect? How do you get away from it all?
I don't really. I don't really. It's because this is my hobby as well. So
yeah.
I'm not a hobby guy. This is my hobby. So, you know, I don't sort of, you know, do all that, anything else really. I mean, I'm lucky. I have lots of different interests in business. So, you know, my business interests range from hotels to farms to financial service businesses to media businesses. So I'm lucky I can dip in and out of all sorts of things. I guess those things become part of my hobby. So because I'm always I get a lot of variety in my day, a lot of change. But sometimes that's pretty tiring because you're thinking, one minute you're thinking about a hotel and I'm in an accommodation hotel. And then the next minute you're thinking about a media business, and then you might be thinking about financial services. So your brain's got to switch on and off pretty fast, but that wears you out, but it actually makes my life interesting. It makes the day go quickly too.
Yeah, fair call. And look, the show is called Technology Uncorked, and on Tuesdays we do interview episodes, and on Thursdays we talk about the tech news and reviews of the week, and I'm usually doing it over a glass of wine. Mark, if you and I were sitting down for a drink together, what would be your go-to drop?
Wine? In terms of wine?
Anything you like.
Well, I'm a big fan of the Nest Egg wine. It's a South Australian Adelaide Hills wine owned by Andrew Nugent. And I'm particularly fond of one of their Shirazes, which is called Nest Egg. Netflix Shiraz, won the world's best Shiraz 3 or 4 years ago. It's a very much a boutique wine, but it's they've actually broadened their range. So I am a Shiraz drinker generally. I don't really drink much white wine as a rule, but I like Shirazes. I used to be mad on all Penfolds, no matter what, reds, but I've started to move over to this more boutique type stuff. And I do like whiskey. I must admit, I do like Japanese whiskey if I'm going to have just one quick drink. I'm not a drinker as such. I probably have 3 drinks a week.
Yeah.
But when I do, it'd be a nest egg wine and or maybe or in the winter in particular, I'll have a whiskey, and usually it's a Japanese.
Love it. Something for next time if we do get to catch up in person. Yeah. Mark, you've been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
You're most welcome. I enjoyed it very much.